Hello and welcome to the Strategic Investor Insider Circle. I'm JP Moses, the director of Awesome, and on behalf of Patrick and Charity and Tim and all of us here, welcome to our tribe. I'm so glad you're here with us and you've started in the right place. This is your manifesto. This is the very first thing that you should be listening to. And congratulations, because you're here right now. And by the way, congratulations for even being a part of this with us. You have joined something really, really cool. We're here to help you become a strategic investor. That means we're going to be pouring into you in three key arenas: your inner game, your mindset, your real estate investing tactics and strategies, and business building skills. More about that in just a minute. For now, I just want to say welcome. Congratulations. You made a fantastic decision. And without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Well, hey there, I'm JP Moses, and I'm the director of Awesome with the Private Money Blueprint and the Strategic Investor Insider Circle, and I'm here with my compadre, Patrick Riddle, our chief operating guy. Patrick, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, JP. Good to be here, man.
Yes, sir. I am thrilled to be here with everyone who's listening in. Patrick and I have cooked up another action-packed, content-rich, members-only training for you today. And I'm particularly excited about today's session because it is your first essential steps becoming a strategic investor. In parentheses, start here. Now, let me just take a moment before we go any further. We're going to give you a little more insight into who we are and what a strategic investor even is and give you some really nice takeaways that you can use and apply right now. But I want to just set the stage by letting you know that if you're listening to this right now, it's because you are new with us. You are new to the Strategic Investor Insider Circle family. Welcome to the tribe. And a lot of what we want to accomplish here is just kind of setting your mindset straight for what's ahead. And we want to help you get the most out of your experience with us. And really, our primary goal is to help you move forward along your path of being a strategic real estate investor, whatever that means for you. So I'll tell you more about that in just a moment, but let me just give you the warmest welcome I possibly can. I'm from the South, so I'm going to give you a Southern gentleman welcome. I'd reach out my hand and shake your hand right now if I was with you. A couple of housekeeping items. You need to know we are 100% committed to keeping it real and delivering as much pure awesome as we possibly can to you each and every month. This particular recording is modeled after our monthly training sessions that happen each and every month. Oftentimes, we're interviewing just industry colleagues, friends, fellow insiders who have success stories and some really cool stuff that they uncover that we're learning from. But we do this every single month, and we actually care. We actually want to hear from you as you're crossing milestones in your business and experiencing some of the successes that we want to help you experience. We want you to reach out and share it with us. We actually want to hear your questions, and we read each and every email that comes in. We intentionally cultivate a culture of authenticity, of business and personal growth, and frankly, of fun. I don't know, once you get to know Patrick and I, you're going to get to know pretty well that we like to have fun and horse around a little bit too. So if you like to horse around, then great. If not, then you'll just have to tolerate us. But we're here to help you and really to help each other along in that path to becoming a strategic investor. What is a strategic investor, quote unquote strategic investor? Well, we're going to really lay that out for you here in just a second. It's built upon three pillars, three key ingredients that are necessary in our opinion. So I'm going to put that off for just a moment in terms of defining it. But before we go any further, I want you to just pat yourself on the back for being a part of this. You made the decision to be a part of this. You've joined something awesome. You're in our tribe now, and congratulations on making a really wise decision. Now, I want to give the disclaimer we always give. We are not attorneys, okay? I am certainly not someone who could ever put up with law school or any of that kind of stuff. So anything you learn from us, whether it's in this training or any of our future trainings or in any of our strategic investor reports that are going to show up in your inbox each and every month, anything you learn from us, you need to consider basically for entertainment purposes until you consult with your professionals, okay? We're going to do our very best to deliver as much awesomeness as we can to you each and every single month that you can actually use and apply. But do not use it or apply it. Don't take any action or any inaction until you've done your due diligence on your side of it, okay? Patrick, you think we sufficiently protected our rear ends there?
Yeah, I do. It's just so important. I mean, there's so many different business models out there. If you're using private money, depending on how the way you're structuring those types of opportunities and state-by-state regulations and whatnot. So treat your business like a real business. You know, get some good legal advice, and that will make sure you're on the up and up.
So one of the things we like to do is celebrate successes. I just mentioned that a moment ago. So in these training sessions, I like to give shout-outs to those who have reached out and shared their successes with us. So I'm just going to give a couple of shout-outs now. Ray Smith emailed you, Patrick, and said, "Hey, Patrick, I just wanted to say I became a member almost 3 years ago, and I have recruited over $500,000 in private money using the Private Money Blueprint and all of your membership resources. I would highly recommend said program to anyone getting started in real estate investing." That's Ray Smith in St. Petersburg, Florida. Super cool. Congratulations, Ray. By the way, the Private Money Blueprint, if you're not familiar with that, that's kind of the flagship private money product that Patrick masterminded with his compadre Trevor and some other faculty members there. And if you guys want to check that out, you'll find a link to it under the product section of the website. Also, Awila DiCarlo says, "Good morning, Patrick. I've been watching your videos and have the Private Money Blueprint program. I was a single mom for many years with a dream of becoming a real estate investor. Now my dream has come true. I have just closed yesterday on my first investment property. Get this. My profit from this project is $18,836. I love the specificity there." She didn't just say 18 grand. "Thank you so much for your willingness to share what you know. The encouragement and support I've received from watching your videos and from the replies to my emails has helped me to have the courage and the confidence to succeed as a real estate investor. There's no stopping me now! ! That's Awilda in Marana, Arizona. Never heard of Marana, but congratulations, Awilda.
Well, and that, JP, that just puts a smile on my face. And for you listening in right now, whenever at some point in time when you send us that email letting us know that you closed your first or next deal, or you got a big chunk of private money, or whatever it is success-wise, you broke through a fear, a barrier, I want you to understand that, I mean, that's why we do what we do, is ultimately the results that you're getting out there in the field, in your business and life, and we absolutely love hearing from you. So please share your success stories with you and everything else. You know, we're here to help you. But you help complete our why with why we're even delivering this in the first place when we see you having awesome successes out there. So congrats and thank you.
Well said. Now, I want to encourage you. I know what it's like to have what I consider to be my own version of adult onset ADD. I feel like the internet has warped my brain in such a way that I'm constantly jumping from thing to thing and multitasking. And regardless of what your beliefs are on whether you think you multitask well or not, I can guarantee you won't get the most out of any training that you're going through if you allow yourself to multitask. You owe it to yourself to clear your mind, clear the distractions, you know, set your cell phone aside, turn it off or put it on vibrate, put it in another room. Don't surf the web. Don't check your email. Really focus in and actually take out a pad and write notes with your hand if you can, because there's something magical that happens between the pen and your brain that just doesn't happen when you type it. It's been scientifically proven, so they say. So I just want to encourage you, you owe it to yourself to get the most out of this and any training that you're a part of, so kill the distractions. As I said, our topic today, your first essential step in becoming a strategic investor. Start here. And I guess what I want to do first, Patrick, I know we both have some things on the table that we want to share, but I'd like to start by letting people get to know you a little better and hear some of the lessons from your backstory, if that's okay. I know that you're in the Charleston market. I'm in Memphis. Charleston and Memphis are similar and different in a lot of ways. You've been an active investor there for some time. Also, you guys may, as we've mentioned, Patrick is behind the Private Money Blueprint, also Private Money on Demand. He's a real machine at the right way to get private money for your deals. And you probably know him from some of the interactions here and there just on the interwebs. But Patrick, would you mind just kind of taking us into how you got started in real estate investing in the first place?
I'd love to. It all started back in the summer of 2002. I had moved to Charleston. I was going to Clemson University at the time studying civil engineering. And I was on break in Charleston with a couple friends of mine. And we came across a guy who was several years older than us. He was in his later 20s. And he owned 6 rental properties. Each one at the time, he told us, was making an average of $200 a month positive cash flow. And he just told us a little bit about the properties that he had accumulated. And that's what initially sparked our interest. I mean, I've always been, and I'm not real sure where it came from, but I've always inside my head thought that growing up, when I saw people and my parents, you know, they had jobs and they got up every morning and went to work. And when I saw, and I was indoctrinated with the get a good education, get a job, work for somebody else, that kind of mentality. And but it never made sense to me. And I never really knew what else was out there. But my brain was always thinking of how can I do something on the side, do something just myself to make money. Like for instance, my first entrepreneurial venture, I would say, was way back in 7th grade. I actually bought Airheads as a candy in bulk, and I would take them to school and sell them for a quarter.
Nice. I lost a crown to an Airhead, just I'll have you know.
Did you?
Yeah, instant flashback. Sorry, go ahead.
but that was the start for me, was just buying in bulk, buying low, and then selling for more and making a little extra money on the side. And so whenever I came across the idea of real estate investing, that you could buy property, have tenants in the property pay you, and in many situations pay for your mortgage and more and all your other expenses, a huge light bulb just went off. And we immediately, myself and friends, went to Barnes & Noble, some uncharted territory. I was never a reader at all growing up. And we went to the bookstore and stumbled across these books that said things like no money down investing. And that completely just blew my mind. I mean, I couldn't understand at the time how you could even invest without any money. You know, it didn't really make sense. But we went ahead and bought a couple books, and I still remember just peeling back the pages and reading it, and just a huge, huge light bulb, like I mentioned a moment ago, went off, and I knew that this was it. This is what I had been looking for, a strategy of investing and being able to make good money without the traditional approach that people take just with employment. And so one thing led to another. Those couple books, actually one of my friends realized and remembered that he thought that on his mom's bookcase at home that there was a real estate course. And next time he was home, he grabbed it off the course. It was still in its shrink wrap.
It was Carlton, wasn't it?
It was Carlton.
Yeah. Everybody starts with either Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Carlton. I don't know what the deal is, but that's everybody's starting point, it seems like.
We stumbled across an unopened Carlton Sheets course and devoured it. I think it was about a 10-disc audio CD, and so we're listening to all the Carlton Sheets CDs, and we're taking in as much as we can. We end up at a one-day seminar that we heard about that was free, where a handful of experts came in, spoke, and then pitched their various programs, products, boot camps. And then only a matter of a couple months later, I ended up at a 5-day boot camp in Atlanta that Lewis Brown had put on. And he ultimately became my real estate investing mentor. I kind of adopted all of Lou's strategies and systems. And so that was, education-wise, that was kind of how I came into investing.
Was Lou Brown still slinging the "yeah, baby"? Was that his tagline?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I first met Lou, and he was quite the yeah baby at the time as well. Okay, so that's how you got your start in it. Now, give me kind of a Reader's Digest 10,000 foot view of your career between then and now. Just if you were to float above it and look at the timeline, what does it look like?
Well, I'd like to zero in just on the very beginning of those first couple of deals.
Sure.
And I had two friends that we had all got interested. You know, we'd been friends for a long time, and we pretty much decided that we were going to go into business together, myself and two friends. And one of my friends, he was just a real action taker. And so he was kind of leading, just going ahead and jumping in, making calls to different properties and agents and going around looking at some properties. So he kind of helped get the ball rolling. And the first deal actually was an offer that he ended up making through a real estate agent on a property. We had combined between the three of us. We had pulled all the cash that we had together and had looked into it, and through my friend, we're going to be able to get a conventional mortgage on our first little property. So our first deal that we actually did was a conventional property that was listed with a realtor. You know, we made an offer, had no clue what we were doing, but ended up getting it accepted. And by pooling all of the little bit of cash that we had together, we were able to close that first deal. Now, for me personally, my friend had done a lot of the action steps and phone calls and process there.
You were riding his coattails in a lot of ways at the beginning.
I was, and that very first deal, you know, it didn't really force me to personally get out of my comfort zone, and that was about to happen. And for me, I remember reading the books and, you know, studying all the training that we had, and the one thing that I was really scared to do was just hop on the phone and talk to a seller. And that was one of the first action steps that eventually one of my buddies had gone through the real estate for sale section in the newspaper, in our local newspaper, and went through and circled all the ads that he thought were potentially motivated sellers or for sale by owner situations. And we just had a little rule between us that if any of us asked each other to do something that we knew would move our business forward, then we had to do it. It was our little accountability system. And he had gone through, circled all these ads, and just threw me the paper and said, call all these within the next hour.
Nice. Nice.
And, you know, I'm feeling these butterflies in my stomach. And that little accountability system that we set up, I mean, maybe you have a partner or a spouse or you know another investor in the area that could function as an accountability partner for you. But that forced me into finally just picking up the phone, getting over my fears, and just making some phone calls to sellers.
You know, I'm going to stop you just for a second, and I'm going to make a bold statement. I don't know that I've made this exact statement before, but I really believe it's true. Early on in your investing career, and I mean, when I say you, I mean anybody who's early on in your investing career, you tend to hyper-focus on, I need a mentor, I need to find a mentor, whether it's national or local or whatever. You're looking for that mythical beast called a mentor. I think that what's much more powerful and much more propelling in terms of propelling you forward is to find somebody who is serious about holding you accountable, just like you did there. And that, in and of itself, is a real it puts a momentum behind you that I think, you know, mentorship provides you with knowledge, but accountability provides you with action. So I feel like I just want to emphasize that and say a mentor is important, but if you could do one or the other and only one or the other, I would recommend people choose trying to find somebody who is maybe in a similar place to you. It doesn't have to be a business partner, but somebody who is going through the beginning stages of their real estate investing career and agree to really seriously hold each other accountable. Maybe you have an arrangement like you just described, Patrick, where, you know, if somebody throws the newspaper at you and says you got to do it, then you got to do it, or you pay them $100 or something. There's all different strategies for that, but that's a huge takeaway.
Well, and this is so important. Go ahead and write down right now as an action step. If you don't already have some accountability system or partner in place, make this happen within the next 7 days, within the next week. Find someone, whether it is a spouse, a neighbor, another local investor, a partner, whoever, set up an accountability relationship. And maybe you can set it up to where each week you report to this person of one thing that you're going to accomplish. Maybe the first week it's you're going to drive around and look for vacant properties and FSBOs and write down phone numbers. And then the next week you're going to call on those that you have phone numbers for. Whatever it is, you can set up just a simple little system of reporting, and then you can even have just a little punishment or reward for doing the thing that week. Maybe you love a certain sports team. So if you don't do the action that you're going to be held accountable for one particular week, then maybe your punishment is you can't watch that next game that's on TV. Whatever it is, whatever will, well, like for instance, one of our members set up a little system with her son where if she didn't take the actions agreed upon each week, that she owed him $10 a day until the action was taken. And that was enough to put that little agreement in place and to get her out there taking action. And for her, what she was wanting to really move forward was her private money presentations and building capital in her business.
I had an accountability relationship at one point that required me to, we agreed to a certain steps I needed to take and things I needed to get done in a time frame. So they had to be specific in order for this to work. But once we agreed on those things, the agreement is every time I failed to meet one of those stipulations, I had to make a rather painful donation to a local political candidate that I completely disagree with. Like I really can't stand this guy. He's not a figure locally anymore, but he was. And just knowing that I was going to be held accountable to making a donation to this guy's coffers really made me angry enough to get those things done. I think it's important that whoever you choose, my last remark on this is, whoever you choose to hold you accountable needs to be not someone who is going to let you off the hook. It needs to be somebody who's willing to call you on BS when they see it, frankly, and who will push you, not give in to you when you start making excuses for yourself.
Hey, and JP, I want to hit on another thing that you mentioned as far as a local mentor. You mentioned, like I had Lewis Brown, who is a nationally recognized expert that I kind of fell under his wing and studied all his systems and programs, whatever. But one of the most valuable things you can do is get a local mentor. And I don't mean go out and find someone who's actively investing and ask them to be your mentor. Here is one of the best ways and easiest ways to get into this real estate investing game, to learn it so that you can gain some confidence, gain some experience, and leverage that in your own business. What I suggest is to go out and find a mover and shaker, someone who is doing the types of deals that you want to do and is structured his business the same way. So maybe you want to be a wholesaler, and you just want to go out and find good deals and flip them to other investors. So what I suggest that you do is go find an active wholesaler locally and ask them out for lunch. Tell them you want to buy them lunch and just pick their brain. And take them to lunch, meet them for coffee, whatever, and see if you can figure out ways, a way, that you can help them in their business. Maybe you go to work for them for free just to get in with someone who's actually doing it and able to learn how to get going. And that could mean starting out, helping them put out bandit signs if that's one of their marketing strategies. You know, that could mean calling some of the leads back and qualifying. That could mean showing properties that they're wholesaling to other investors. So many people don't take this step, and it's so easy to where you could end up helping other investors who have an active business learn the business and basically get a free mentorship to get you started.
I would take that even to another level and say, be willing to pay your way in if you need to show them that you're serious.
Sure.
Because a lot of guys who are experienced, especially if you come across the experienced guys in the local RIA group, they're always getting hit up for lunch. And sometimes, just depends on where they are with that, sometimes they're they'll set aside an hour or two each week to go to lunch with newbies. But a lot of times they're just, you know, they don't have time. They're running a busy business and have their own busy lives to fill up all their lunch hours with people who want to, quote unquote, pick their brains. So one guy, one of our board members in our local RIA, said, hey, if you want to learn from me, your ticket in is $150. And for $150, you get to ride around in my truck with me all day and just work with me. You just do whatever I do. You'll hear me make calls and we can have conversations. You know, you can ask me whatever you want to ask me about whatever I'm doing. I'll answer your questions while I'm doing my work. Brilliant move on his behalf. And he didn't really care about the $150. He wanted people who weren't going to waste his time, who were going to actually see some of the value by having some skin in the game in what he was offering them, and who were going to come to the table ready to ask the right questions. And frankly, what would allow him to continue to work his busy day without having to constantly slot appointments for people.
Well, and a great thing that you can implement too, if you're one of our insiders who already has a very active business, maybe you're doing 3 to 5 deals per month already, well, guess what? There's a lot of people out there who would be willing to pay their way in, like JP's mentioned. There would be plenty of people willing to work in your business for free. And it's a great way. Like, one of the things after my first year investing that I did was I started to seek out and look for go-getting investors, people that were just wanting to get into it and look like, you know, a go-getter, an action taker. And I would take them under my wing and teach them how to find good deals so that then they could just simply bring the good deals back to me. So I put in a little bit of time mentoring and training new investors so that I could create an army of people out there bringing me deals. And you can do the same.
Yes. Yeah. Well said.
And I'll rewind back. I know we've gone off kind of on a couple little tangents.
Just, yeah, we're good at rabbit trails when we let ourselves.
Well, and I mean, you know, we're just here to share as much you know, tactical and training and tips that you can take and use just from our combined decades of experience here between JP and I. And to zero back in where we were. In my story, after that first deal that I mentioned to you that I was able to get done, the next deal was much more just on my plate to make it happen. And let me break down a few of the steps throughout the next deal. It ended up, we started my mentor Lou Brown said you should always have multiple strategies that you're implementing to find good deals. And we were doing a few different things. We were researching public records to find people who were going into the foreclosure process, and we were pulling that list from public records. And then we'd do a little research just to see which ones we thought had the most equity. And at times over the years, we've sent direct mail campaigns to those leads, but when we were just getting started, we did door knocking, where the leads that looked like they had the highest potential, we would just go knocking on their door. And it definitely works. It's a little scary, but that was one of our deal finding strategies. Another was running a We Buy Houses ad in the newspaper every weekend.
Oh, wait, I just have to rewind for a second, because did you go knocking on people's doors by yourself, or were you guys there as a team?
By ourselves.
Because if you were by yourself, I'll bet they thought you were selling candy bars because you look 14. I'm just saying, you guys know
that,
Patrick, the guy looks pretty young. So when you knocked on their door, looking as young as you do, and you said, hey, I want to buy your house. I'm sure that wasn't your lead in, but you had to get a lot of comments about your age, I'm sure.
Well, I did get some. Really, I realized that it was more head trash than anything. It was a self-limiting belief that my youth was a disadvantage. And over time, it definitely took a little while to mentally make the shifts to turn it into an advantage. But yes, I did. I mean, imagine me 10 or, you know, in 2002, I pretty much looked like I was like 15 years old. And I was rebelling because I still had I had hair down to my shoulders in college for a little while. And my dad told me to cut my hair. And so I was bound and determined to negotiate and close my first deal prior to cutting my hair, even though I wanted to cut it.
That's great. I've never seen you with that too. You need to send me a picture. I promise it'll never make its way to the internet. I just want to see that picture. All right, back, so, your other way, besides door knocking, you were on to way number two.
We had a We Buy Houses ad that we ran on the weekends. And we also joined our local RIA, and we're networking as a strategy to find deals. We did bandit signs, just We Buy Houses, yellow and black bandit signs, and consistently just put a plan together to implement this was our marketing plan. But leading to the next deal where I had my hands in it from start to finish, we got a lead from a seller. His name was Buddy, for a house in Somerville, South Carolina. That came off of the We Buy Houses ad. And, you know, didn't know what we were doing, didn't know what I was doing, but just called him back, got on the phone, and found out that he was in foreclosure. And so I remember it vividly. Myself and one of my partners went up to the house to look at the house. And, you know, we get there, we're walking around, you know, one of the things that, especially if you're just getting started, that you're going to have to get over is the idea or the feeling that you don't know enough yet. Mm. I mean, that was definitely something going through my head, in my mind. I was scared. I was a little fearful, but took the action and did it anyway. And, you know, you wherever you're at, you know enough to start taking some action. So back to the story, we end up sitting in front of Buddy and his wife. We got an authorization to release information form signed and a contract signed. And so we had our first deal under contract there. That wasn't, I mean, the first one was through a listed property, but direct with the seller. And I'll quickly run through the details of the deal. We ended up contacting the bank, and I actually did all the negotiating with the bank. We had this tiny, I think it was like a $15 or $20 little short sale course that was extremely rudimentary. I mean, it was like 30 pages. But I just step by step went through this little manual and did what it said. And negotiating with the bank, my first offer, they rejected. We had gotten the short sale packet into them. My second offer was for $77,000, and they owed like $110,000 with the back payments and everything. Mm-hmm. And offered $77,000. The bank comes back. I'm on the phone with them. It was Chase, and the woman says, you know, that's not gonna work for a short sale. And then she says, but it will work for a note sale. And at the time, I had no clue what that meant.
Wait, what moment?
Yeah, but it sounded good, and so I just said, "Can you send that over in writing?"
Nice. Well played.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're Googling what is a note.
I had no clue, but come to find out, you know, fast forward a little bit, we got the acceptance on the note sale. We ended up, I didn't have private money or know about private money at the time. We had pulled all of our cash together and didn't have any money to do the deal. But one of the things that I learned from the mentor was that you can go out, you can contract properties, you can put in escape clauses if things don't go the way that you want, or if things come back with the property that were unexpected. And basically, you can put an out in there to give you the opportunity to do a deal, to find the financing, to find the buyer or whatever. And so we end up getting this acceptance, and we start calling all of our contacts and resources to try to find someone to put up the money or some resource. And we ended up finding a hard money lender who saw the deal, who said they would fund it, you know, and there was no credit checking or anything. It was just strictly on the property. And they lent us the funds to buy it and do the rehab for 15% and 5 points for a 6-month term. And that was, I mean, really kind of from start to finish, from generating the lead, talking to them on the phone, the negotiation with the bank, you know, being able to close it successfully and bring in hard money, that was one of the big triumphs that I faced a ton of different fears and uncomfortableness throughout that whole process.
What do you think was your biggest personal takeaway from that transaction, the first solo transaction? If you were to look back and just say, you know, here's what that really did for me more than anything else, what would it be?
It opened my mind to what was possible, because people, you know, there was a lot of naysayers. At that time, after closing our first deal, I decided to quit school. After 3.5 years of civil engineering, myself and my two friends, we all just quit school and went into investing full time. You know, I don't really recommend people doing that, but it's what we did. And so I had a lot of people who were telling me I was an idiot, who told me it would never work. You know, how are you going to buy any houses? You don't have any money. You know, broke college kid, what are you thinking? And for me, it opened a whole new world of possibilities to think that we just went out and months before, we were just reading some books about no money down investing, and look what we just did. Oh my God, you know, for me as well, like meeting the people, the seller in person, and kind of for me getting over that, you know, you're too young, you look like you're 12, self-limiting belief that I had in my mind. It really just opened up a whole new world of possibility for me.
Hmm. Good stuff. All right, why don't we turn a corner? Just looking at our time on this, I want to be sure we fit in everything that we said we wanted to fit in. Unless you feel like we should go a different direction, I'll defer to you. I know one of the things I want to be sure I have a chance to share with all of our insiders is something that I've come to kind of call the lifestyle of a real estate investor. Do you think now would be a good time for me to begin to transition that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
It might be helpful for me to let anyone who doesn't already have some past relationship with me or knowledge of where I'm coming from know a little bit about my backstory as well, or how I even came to be a part of the insider circle with Patrick. As I said, I've been, I guess I first got started in real estate investing around a dozen years ago as of the time that we're recording this. So around 2001, really, I think it may have been 99 when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, it was 99 or 2000 when I first read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And that was the really beginning point. I had my eyes open to this world of real estate investing because that's how Robert Kiyosaki, according to the book, which I now know is a parable. I didn't realize it was a parable. Most people didn't, but he told the story that he got started in real estate, buying rental properties, and kind of used that as his way of illustrating the power of assets and leverage. And I thought, well, if he got started, you know, I want to accomplish what he's accomplished. So if he got started in real estate, I'll get started in real estate. So I got on the internet, whatever version of the internet we had back then. It was pretty rudimentary compared to what we have now, but there were discussion boards, and I was on Dealmakers Cafe and Flipping Homes and Cree Online and just soaking up everything I could for like 6 months. Ended up buying a real estate course for $600, and it was the worst. It was a piece of trash. It was bad. It was a really poorly put together piece of education, and I knew it as soon as I got it. But I'll tell you, that experience did one thing for me. It made me not want to have to waste that money. It gave me a determination and a resolve to keep going because I knew that even though this course I invested in wasn't very good, it was an investment nonetheless in my education that I had made that I now wanted to see a return on, and I could see that this was working for other people the more I got into real estate investing. And of course, anybody who gets into this, as soon as you get in, you kind of get in one little facet, and then your mind just expands and kind of gets blown when you see how wide the real estate investing game is and how many ways there are to skin that cat. And that in and of itself can be overwhelming. So got started just kind of messing around a little bit in our local market here in Memphis. And, you know, you hear everybody said even back then, you got to join your local REIA Association, your Real Estate Investors Association, REIA. I looked around. In Memphis, we didn't have one. So I thought, well, I may not know much about real estate yet, but I know how to herd cats, so to speak, so I can maybe start a REIA group. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I put an ad in the Sunday paper for 4 Sundays in a row that said, Real Estate Investors Club starting, call for info, and had my cell phone number in there. And I had like maybe 50 people or so call me over the course of the month, and everyone I would just say, yeah, I'm starting a real estate club. When I get enough people, I'll call you back. I'll take your number down and call you back. So long story short, I ended up getting 18 people together in the back room of a Shoney's restaurant at that point, and we just kind of decided to start a group. And I was privileged to be able to experience growing my real estate investing business right alongside growing this organization, and kind of by accident even positioning myself in a posture of being kind of a center of influence in the real estate and investing community. And I didn't really go into it with that intent. I thought, I want the benefits of a RIA group, so I'm going to just start one and see what happens. But I didn't realize one of the benefits of doing that would be that I would become kind of a centerpiece. So if I could pause and give one important piece of advice from this story, it would be that there's huge value for you as an investor to be gained if you can put yourself into a position of being in leadership in your RIA. Even if you don't have the option of starting a RIA, maybe that's not a good fit, maybe you already have two good ones in your area, you can start volunteering. You can be the guy checking people in at the door. Eventually, you can teach a subgroup or something. But the more you do that, the more you connect with those people by putting yourself in a position of service. When I say leadership, I mean service to the group. The more you're seen, the more you're recognized. I can tell you, almost every single deal that I have ever done, and at this point I've done somewhere north of a couple hundred deals over my career. A lot of people have done a lot more than that, but almost every one of the deals I've done have in some way involved a relationship from that RIA group in one way or another. And that's a pretty powerful statement. And it's all because of me positioning myself in a position of service slash leadership within that group. So do that. Make it a priority to do that and make it a part of your personal culture as a real estate investor. So when I went through my real estate career, just kind of give you the quick rundown. I got started in rentals because that's what Robert Kiyosaki did, right? But I made a lot of mistakes as a landlord. Bought crummy houses and crummy neighborhoods that were not rehabbed well, and they were all over the place and had to drive all over the place to manage them, and a poor quality of tenant. So many lessons I could pull out of that I won't for the sake of time right now. But I realized that landlording is not the best fit for me. Okay, that's not to say that being a landlord is not a good opportunity. There's a hugely rich opportunity. But I realized over time it was not the best fit for me, for my personality, for my strengths. And that's an important piece to the puzzle as well that I'm going to come back to here in just a moment. So I transitioned and started, you know, looking for the right fit for me in real estate investing. And I've done a little bit of a lot of things. You know, I've done a couple of lease options. I've done a couple of rehabs. I've been an REO broker. I've been a regular realtor, and I've been not a full-on REO broker, but I have listed some REOs, probably half a dozen total. So I've got some experience there and doing BPOs and whatnot. I have bought a note and foreclosed on it. So, you know, I've kind of dabbled in a lot of things over my career, but by far the lion's share of my personal experience has been in the wholesaling arena, the quick turn arena. And you know, you probably already know, but if you don't, wholesaling is just putting a contract on a property and then without doing any rehab or before you even close, ideally, quickly flipping that that property as is via second contract or assignment to another investor for a smaller profit than you would make if you were rehabbing it and just kind of getting in and out real quick. So as I surveyed the opportunities, that felt right to me. And it felt right for my own personal work style. It felt right for my ability to absorb risk at any given time, for my circumstances. So that's really where I stuck my flag in deep for the lion's share of my career. Here's the important lesson that I just touched on that I want to be sure it gets across with this. I don't know where listening to this right now, I don't know where you are in your real estate career. You might be well beyond the newbie. You may be you have a rhythm of doing deals in your life right now, and that's great. Okay, we're still here to help you learn how to become a more strategic version of yourself, and whatever that next breakthrough is for you, we want to help you along. Whether you're an experienced investor, brand new, or anywhere in between. But one of the things that I think is really important for real estate investors to realize is that you need to find, part of your mission is to find the best business model and structure and setup that works for you, both matching the circumstances in your life, you know, the assets you have, the cash, the time that you have available to you. Different business models require a different amount of time investment, different amounts of risk, whether or not you have a family, whether or not you even like doing certain things. I can tell you that I, you know, if we're all honest, we all have a certain amount of avoidance behavior. We tend to avoid doing things that we really don't like doing. I really don't like the activities involved in managing tenants or managing contractors. That's why I'm not a good rehabber. I know a lot about rehabbing, but I don't like managing contractors. So I tend to avoid the necessary pieces of managing contractors and therefore don't do a very good job of it. So rather than trying to shore up those weaknesses all the time and make myself into something that I'm not, I should play to my strengths. And that's what I did when I stuck my flag in deep as a wholesaler. So what I want to get across here is part of your mission is to really find your niche, the niche that fits you. And you're going to go through some trial and error as you go through that process. And that's what I have come to kind of identify as the life cycle of a new real estate investor. I've known a lot, you know, being in a position of leadership in my REIT group, I have known a lot of new investors. I retired from leadership there after 6 years from official formal leadership, but I've seen a lot of new investors. You've got the first couple of years typically on average. There's some rock stars, you know, who just hit the ground running and they just blow it out of the ballpark right away. And there's some people who take a lot longer than that to finally find their success. But on average, it takes 1 to 2 years for a new investor to accomplish two things, two primary things. And these are the main two things that I think you're supposed to be trying to accomplish in those first 1 to 2 years. Number one, figuring out if real estate investing is even right for you. Let's be honest. This is not right for everyone. Not everybody. I mean, if everybody in the world were a real estate investor, that'd be crazy. Some people are supposed to be doctors. Some people are supposed to be, you know, financiers. Whatever the case may be, you may or may not be a good fit for real estate investing. You may have been drawn into it for one reason or another, but then eventually, over the course of learning and trying and doing, you may discover that the whole business model isn't ideal for you, but it's a step on the path for you to whatever is the best fit for you. So part of what you're trying to figure out is just, even is real estate investing right for me? I'm not trying to discourage you and suggest it's not. I'm just saying that's part of your mission over those first year or two. The second thing you're trying to accomplish is, let's assume, yes, okay, I know real estate investing is a good fit for me. The second thing you're trying to accomplish is, what is my niche? What is the best version of this for me? Am I a wholesaler? And it may evolve, frankly, over time. You may start as one thing and then eventually come and evolve into something else. But you're probably going to go through some trial and error. You're going to try a few things like I did. I tried landlording. You know, I didn't fail as a landlord. I kind of had to figure out that that wasn't a good fit for me by trial and error. I had to scrape my knees up a little bit in it before I realized. I thought I would love managing tenants and managing contractors. Only experience taught me otherwise. My experience and some experience from some of my local mentors here pouring into me at the time. So those are the main two things that you're trying to do. Figure out if real estate investing is right for you and what is your niche. Now, while you're trying to find your niche, you're going to be consuming a lot of information. Your inbox probably already is full of a lot of quote-unquote opportunities. You're very likely struggling with some level of bright shiny object syndrome, you know, kind of like a ball bearing drawn to the strongest magnet, the closest magnet at any given time. And that certainly can be dangerous and feel frustrating. But, you know, give yourself a little permission just to experience that. It's kind of part of a rite of passage. You have to kind of drink from the fire hydrant for a little while you're trying to figure out where you should narrow your focus to. Just don't make the mistake while you're drinking from that fire hydrant and sorting through some of that. Don't make the mistake of losing your shirt in the process. A lot of people early on will go to some free seminar that shows up in a hotel and sit through a day of what they think is getting good content and get schmoozed into dropping $35,000 for a training program. And they haven't even figured out if real estate investing is right for them. They haven't even figured out if they want to be a wholesaler or a rehabber. That's the wrong time to drop that kind of money. Am I saying that you should never be willing to drop serious money on your education? No. Patrick and I absolutely, positively believe that you must be able and willing to invest in your education on a regular basis, but you want to make the wisest investment possible. So while you're taking in so much information, make smaller, more reasonable investments in the hundreds of dollars rather than the thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. Now, there's some things that are going to be kind of timeless, like private money training, for example. Regardless of your niche, you're always going to have a need and always going to be able to win by having private money. So you can make some more substantial investments in educating yourself in arenas that are evergreen and timeless that are going to apply regardless. But when it comes to finding your niche, start in those first couple of years by making some investments in the tens and hundreds of dollars, and just call it part of your education, part of your training. And then once you figure out, all right, I'm going to dig in and I'm going to give it a good like 6 months to a year as a wholesaler or whatever, then invest, you know, be willing to invest a little bit more to get an actual immersion type education on that particular model. All right. I just need to take a step back for a second and breathe. Do you have any?
Well,
that's a lot I vomited out. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on any of that before I continue.
I do. I do. Part of your niche, carving that out and figuring out what that is, I mean, it's so important because, you know, it's easy to get pulled in a lot of different directions. But your financial circumstances may help dictate or tell you where's a good place to start. You know, if you really need to build up some capital and some cash, so that you have good cash reserves and have, you know, enough money to do whatever you'd like it with your lifestyle, you know, maybe it's a good idea to get into wholesaling first. So that, I mean, it's one of the least, non-risky or risk-averse strategies to getting started, and you can make quick cash. You know, you can make $2,000-$5,000 just wholesaling a property. Or like if today right now cash is more important, either wholesaling or flipping property, where you're going to actually buy it, you know, potentially rehab it and then flip it. I mean, those are great ways to bring in capital, you know, good profits from your deals. But if you're really looking for more building long-term wealth rather than making quick cash, then some of your buy and hold strategies with properties can make a lot more sense. And determine whether single family, multifamily apartment buildings is right for you. And that will evolve. I mean, whenever I first got started, we did a little bit of everything. That first property that I told you about that we bought, we ended up doing a lease option on the property. That's actually been my primary exit strategy for most of the properties that I buy. But we also bring in properties that we just wholesale for quick cash, or that we bring in and do the renovation on and flip to keep bringing in cash to fund the business and whatnot. So, if you have any questions at all, you know, you heard some of JP's experience with the different types of deals. I mean, I've done single family, multifamily apartment buildings. I've done, you know, buy, renovate, flip. Some lower end and higher end homes, done a lot with lease options, done probate and bankruptcy deals, and you name it. So about any kind of deal that you're considering or business model, we have some experience, myself, JP, the rest of our faculty, our expert faculty, our student faculty. Each and every month, we bring on a lot of members in our program and friends and colleagues that are in the business that you're going to learn a lot about different business models and little things that you can do to add into your current strategy and plans that can help take your business to the next level. So,
Patrick, I think it might be best for us to, at this point, turn the corner just a little bit more to really start emphasizing what a strategic investor is. And this is something that you and I both have as a part of our kind of our core values and our core beliefs as not only real estate investors for the amount of time that we have been, but as people, as coaches, you could say, people who pour into other people and get a lot of fulfillment out of helping people find their groove in this industry, being what we have come to call a strategic investor is really important to understand and why. So can I hand off to you maybe for a minute to just kind of start walking us through that?
My real estate investing started, as I said, I was never much of a reader growing up. I read a few real estate books And I mean, it was funny. It seemed like every book that I came across started with goal setting and other kind of mindset ideas. And I usually just breezed through that information, didn't give it a whole lot of thought. But after reading and studying more real estate investing, that led to some other books like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and many others like by Brian Tracy. And those, once I started consuming some of that material, it truly opened my eyes to see that what's most important, the number one most important is thing to your success is starts with your mindset, period. And it doesn't matter if you never master mindset, then it doesn't matter what industry you try to go into, you're going to meet roadblock after roadblock. But when you truly focus on what is the mindset of a successful entrepreneur, I started reading books about businessmen and other real estate investors who had achieved great things and started to adopt their philosophies, their belief system, and strategies that they implement to help them take the actions that they need to and not to procrastinate and to organize their time. And all this stuff that I'm talking about, that doesn't have anything to do with the day-to-day real estate tactics and strategy. And so over the years, I studied a ton with personal development mindset and building that success philosophy myself. And most of the time, that was reaching and learning outside of any kind of real estate course. Of course, I mean, real estate strategy and tactics that actually work in today's market, you've got to know them. That's stuff that you've got to learn. But so many people just focus on the tactics, where had they focused some on more of gaining the mindset and the skill set in order to implement those tactics, that's what's most important first.
Yeah, and I can tell you, every real estate investor I've known who has failed, and when I say failed, I mean not made a mistake in real estate investing. I mean died on the vine on the way to trying to become a real estate investor. It has not been because of them not knowing the right tactics. It has been because of some form of self-sabotage.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, even with the right mindset and knowing real estate tactics and whatnot that work, then taking it to the next level. I mean, of course, you've got to always view this as a business. Buying, investing in real estate, it's business, and it's important not ever to get emotionally involved in the properties that you're buying and people's situations that you're trying to help, et cetera. But there's another piece to ultimately allowing you to have a fun, thriving, profitable business, and that's the business building skills that it takes to really take this to the next level. So there's three core pillars to your real estate business and life success, and that's the mindset of the millionaire entrepreneur. That's the real estate tactics and strategy working in today's market, and the business building skills to truly turn what you're doing from a hobby into a business that can thrive and prosper. And whenever, over the years, these were all ideas and things that I had to study separate from each other. And what you've come across here today with JP and on the phone, this is the one place that you can come to get all three of what you need, those three core pillars in one. We're delivering the mindset, the real estate, and the business building. And, you know, that's what it truly takes to make all this work. And you found through the success, through the Strategic Investor Insider Circle, what we've created to embody that, all of that knowledge needed for your true success.
Let me be very clear about something. If any part of you listening to this right now has begun to suspect that maybe we have an agenda of trying to indoctrinate you with our way of thinking, you're right. You're absolutely right, because that's how important we believe these three pillars are. And each of these three things, as you said, Patrick, are essential ingredients. If you're making soup, okay, you have to put all the ingredients in. If you miss an ingredient, you're making the wrong soup. So if you're trying to make the soup of being a balanced, well-rounded, successful, strategic real estate investor, these are the three essential ingredients in equal amounts that you need to be focusing on. So that's why you will see us consistently throughout your the duration of your time with us as an insider. And hopefully you're going to be with us for a long time, forever, because we only want to continue improving the experience that we have with our tribe. But as you continue with us, you'll see we always put those three things on the forefront. We put the inner game, the mindset, in every single piece you receive from us in the mail, the strategic investor report that you receive from us. We pore over that every single month to find inner game concepts that are going to challenge you, that are going to keep you sharp, and tactical real estate investing strategies that will help keep you sharp from a tactical perspective, and things that will help you build a real business and not just a real estate investing hobby. All three of those ingredients on our monthly training calls. When we do those training sessions, again, this one's a little bit different. It's modeled after those. But when you join us for those, again, we're going to bring out takeaways from all three of those pillars, so that you can take those things and actually continue to nudge yourself forward or make major breakthroughs in your path to being a strategic investor, a more strategic, more successful, more powerful version of who you are. So whether you're new, whether you're experienced, whether you're anywhere in between, we're bringing our best to the table, our heart and our soul, and pouring it out for you. You know, it means a lot to us. It's very rewarding that we have the opportunity. We had a lot of people pour into us. Patrick, you and I have talked about this before. You had people pour into you, Lou and other people, and I've had a lot of people that I'm standing on the shoulders of now, and I love having the opportunity to kind of be a shepherd for other people now in this way.
Awesome stuff. You know, and as you're taking and implementing this strategic investor training, now and going forward, many, many months to come and years, reach out to us. We want and expect to hear you. Whenever you've got a deal on your plate that you want to pass it by us to take a look at, please do so. Contact us through the members area at strategicinvestorinsider.com. That's where you want to head and log in, and you can dive in to tons of previously archived trainings that we've done on all sorts of subjects. And our monthly strategic investor reports and so much more. But head over there, contact us, just let us know how we can help, because we know that deals happen in real time. One of the things that I always wanted but never had was a lifeline to reach out to, where when I had a question, I knew that I could get an answer, and I could get it rather quickly. And that's what you now have access to, our radically awesome and incredible support. We've had our hands in so many different types of deals and in our businesses day-to-day, and truly are just here to help you and want to hear from you. So please reach out to us as you take and implement all that you learn here.
Yes, on that note, I know that you know, helping you consume what we're providing here without it being just another thing to overwhelm you is high on our priority list, okay? Let's be honest. As much as we're proud of what we put together and we hope that you take advantage of it, you just bought another product. And if you're like a lot of people, then you probably have bought products before, and a lot of those you haven't taken advantage of. You haven't taken the time to even go through the training material. You haven't even taken the time. I mean, congratulations, because at least you're listening to the start right here. You followed the start here icon on the front. But I want to encourage you to not let yourself make the same mistake that maybe you've made before of not going through what we provided for you here, because it will make a difference. You need to take the time to go through this, but don't let it overwhelm you. Don't feel like you have to sit down and go through it all at once. Pace yourself. Set aside just a little bit of time. Every day would be great, but at least once a week, that's just me time, that's an hour where you just invest in going through something that's going to sharpen your real estate investing education. It could be what we're providing you here. It could be podcasts, but we certainly want you to consume what we're providing so that you can grow up to be a big, strong, healthy boy, right? I mean, you got to eat your vegetables. We're providing them to you here. So don't make the mistake of letting your investment here just be squandered if you've ever made that mistake before. Reach out to us, and I actually want to give you a specific assignment right now if you're up for the challenge. I want you to go to your email and send us an email right now after this is done. We're just about to wrap up here. Once this CD ends, send us an email. The email address is support@strategicinvestorinsider.com. Okay, we got a great team here. It's me, it's Patrick, it's Charity, and we got some other folks, and it'll definitely, our eyes will see this, okay? The email for the subject, I want you to put my one thing, all capital letters, all right? So we recognize what it is because we get a lot of emails. So the subject is my one thing in all capital letters. And within that, I want you to just take a moment. Don't write a novel because we don't, I'd rather not have 10 pages to read through. But I'd like you to share the one thing that if you could learn as a part of being a part of this, the one thing that you feel like would make the biggest difference to you, the one biggest obstacle that you're facing right now that you'd like our help tackling, the one thing that if you could just wrap your mind around this, or if you could just break past this obstacle, if we can help you do that in some way, whether it's through the news, releasing our answer in the newsletter or one of the training calls or whatever, we want to hear from you so bad that I want you to send us that right now when this is done. Tell us what your one thing is that you would like more than anything else, and we're going to pay attention. I promise you that. So that's your assignment when you get done before you do anything else. I know I just dropped that right off the top of my head, but would you add anything to that, my friend?
No, just do it. Take the action. That's the one action given here. We can't wait to hear from you. Congratulations on joining our little tribe here at the Strategic Investor Insider Circle. You've got a wealth of resources at your disposal. You've got a wealth of experience backing you now with us right by your side on your team. So let's do this. We're here to deliver profits. We're here to deliver prosperity and so much more. So let's make some big things happen, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Well said. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Keep going. We'll catch you on the next exciting episode of the Strategic Investor Insider, whether that's on our training call or in the report or whatever it happens to be. We'll look forward to interacting with you again soon. Take care.